Okay, take a deep breath. Say, Holy Spirit, I want my eyes to work, my ears to work, my heart to perceive. You're about to talk to me. And I want to hear. And I will hear that your spirit is on the job. Let the fire come. In Jesus' name we pray. I heard this during the night. And he said that I needed to go to Ephesians chapter 2. And it would be in the Passion Translation because the wording is super clear in the Passion. So we're going to kind of do something in reverse, if you wish. I'm going to give you the highlight of the message first, and then we'll back it up. So I want you to start with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the Holy Ones, with all the rights as family members of the household of God. You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple. Now, if you remember, 2 weeks ago, I pulled out the photograph of the temple and I put it on the altar. So immediately, that came right back. And I said, Lord, you're confirming what you showed all of us. When we took communion, we recognized that each one of us was one of those bricks. Amen? You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple. And your lives have been built up together upon the foundation laid by the apostles and the prophets. And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself. Now tighten your seatbelt. This entire building is under construction. Did you hear it? And is continually growing under his supervision until it rises up completely as the holy temple of the Lord himself. Take another notch on your belt. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies. I repeat. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. Amen. Anybody say yum yum? Yeah. You see, everybody wants to see the temple restored in Jerusalem. But God is saying through St. Paul that he's rebuilding the Holy of Holies, which is me and you. And of course, immediately I saw a photograph in my mind of the little, where is that little thing that we have?
The Ark.
The Ark. Okay. Oh, it's in back of me. Okay. The Ark has what inside?
Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments.
The rod.
The rod that budded. The authority.
And the food.
And the manna. Okay. Why is it covered? Because it has the cover, which is the mercy seat, which is Jesus. Ah, I see a mouth open. See, God is taking us out of religion.
Yes.
He's taking us out of worshiping items. Did you hear me? All of these religious rituals that we were brought up with, that I was brought up with, but they're different in different groups, but it's still religion. It is all part of what you and I operate under without even realizing it, because it's indwelt in your soul, in your mind, in your will, and in your emotions. And you operate from that corner because you refuse to get the new. See, refusing to get the new, you're going to be stepping out of your reasoning. Because all your reasoning is going to bring you back to what you knew. Find you into that corner, which is law. And the law produces what?
Death.
So under legalism, you go right back into a dying process, and then you get depressed because, and I could go on and on, because reasoning is going to give you a lot of options. Catching on? Mm-hmm. Now, the covering is Christ. It's the Lord. He's in there by his Holy Spirit. He's not outside. He's inside. Got it? So, this temple that he's building is me. Close your eyes right now. Say, the temple that he's building, is really me.
He's transforming me
into the Holy of Holies.
The dwelling place
through the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. Okay. I want you to back it up now. We're going to go back to verse 1 of chapter 2. And his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world. Are you catching on? Obeying the dark rulers of the earthly realm, who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. I can say ouch, ouch, ouch there. Because again, you have to remember who is ruling in the earth right now. Who's the prince? Yeah. He's been thrown down here for a reason, to irritate you and me. Okay. Verse 3. The corruption that was in us from birth. The corruption that was in me from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of my self-life. Now, if you take a quick peek, a survey of your choices of watching yourself through your before Christ days, what were you? The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of my self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children subject to God's wrath like everyone else. That's a double ouch. Because it shows you where you were. He's also showing you a path to where he's taking you. And that transition period is ongoing. You can always turn back and go right back to where you were. You can go back into controlling ways, and you can go back and doing your own thing. But my little bro back there lets you know that if it's time to wear your suit, you wear the suit he told you. Because there's money in the pocket that you have no clue about. That's why I was giggling. Because I read this in the middle of the night, and I read it again. Because again, it shows you, what do? Our natural man is so in tune to what the world says to do. How acting and reacting to different things is so normal and natural. And it feels good. Because you're in your comfort zone. Everybody's doing this. Well, you're not everybody. And Joe proved it. Verse 4. But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ. Ha! Wow. And saved us by his wonderful grace. He raises us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realms. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Why? Because the bride and the bridegroom are one. Got it? Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved by faith. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation. For it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ, or that brought us to the anointing. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. Again, no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. You see, if you tell a religious person this one verse, they're going to flip out on you. Because that's where I and many of you were brought up. You do good, you get good.
Right.
You do bad, you get
bad.
That's not what it says here. So you see, the religious stuff that we were brought up with, and I'm not accusing, that they just taught us what they knew. And we were part of that old system. But we're coming out. Maybe you were a closet Christian, you didn't know it. Yeah. We have become his poetry. I love this part.
Wow.
And there's a footnote on that one, and I want to read it because it's so perfect. The beautiful Greek word used here is translated poem or poetry. Our lives are the beautiful poetry written by God that will speak for all that he desires in life. Whew. That was a yum yum too. Okay? So again, verse 7, throughout the coming ages, we will be visibly displayed of the infinite riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved by faith. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation. For it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. We have become his poetry, a recreated people. I like that word. A recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned it in advance, our destiny and good works we would do to fulfill it. Even before I was born. Try it on. Say, I have become his poetry.
I have become his poetry.
A recreated person.
A recreated person.
That will fulfill the destiny.
That will fulfill the destiny.
That has given each of us.
That has given each of us.
For we are joined to Jesus.
For we are joined to Jesus.
The Anointed One.
The Anointed One.
Even before I was born.
God planned in advance
my destiny
and the good
work
that I would do
to fulfill it. Yeah, did that bring a little stirring? Mm-hmm. Verse 11, a new humanity. So don't forget what you were not that, I'm sorry. So don't forget that you were not born as Jews and were uncircumcised. Circumcision itself is just a work of man's hands. You had none of the Jewish covenants and laws. You were foreigners, that's the Ephesians, that's you and me, to Israel's incredible heritage. You were without the covenant and prophetic promises of the Messiah, the promised hope, and without God. So you did what comes naturally, acting and reacting from your own self. 13. Yet look at you now. Everything is new. Although you were once distant and far away from God, now you have been brought delightfully close to him through the sacred blood of Jesus. You have actually been united to Christ. Marriage. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ, or one in the anointing. By dying as our sacrifice, he has broken down every wall of prejudice. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
By dying as our sacrifice, he has broken down every wall of prejudice. That includes the color codes. That separates us and has now made us equal through our union with Christ. 15 is quite important. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of our precious body on the cross. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious body on the cross. The legal code that stood condemning every one of us has now been repealed by his command. His triune essence has made peace between us by starting over, forming one new race of humanity. Jews and non-Jews fused together in himself. Yeah. Forming one new race of humanity. Jews and non-Jews fused together in himself. Two has now become one, and we live restored to God and reconciled in the body of Christ through his crucifixion. Hatred died. For the Messiah has come to preach this sweet message of peace to you, the ones who were distant and to those who are near. And now, because we are united to Christ, we both have equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. You see, I would say that the Ephesians and the religious folks had such a warped picture presented to us, the works program, the do's and don'ts, all those things that they gave with a heart to give. But was it really Holy Spirit? And in reality, it wasn't. And now Holy Spirit is awakening us to let us see how much deception that we had then, and we did get some of it, is gone. I'm not saying that it's all gone, because I still see some of the old once in a while. And no matter how old you get, I think some of the old patterns, they have an automatic play that goes on when you least expect it. And you say, uh-oh, now what am I going? And my mind is going in the wrong direction. And it's not God. But the awakening is Holy Spirit. He is there to prompt you, to awaken you. So we both have equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. So you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the Holy Ones, with all the rights as family members of the household of God. You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple, and your lives have been built up together upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. The best of all, you are connected to the head, cornerstone of the building, the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself. The entire building is under construction and is continually growing. I like that part. See, you don't realize the growth that has happened to you until you hear some of the testimonies, until you see obedience and the fruit of the obedience. Then you say, oh, now my eyes are open. Oh, now I can see. Okay? And is continually growing under his supervision. So his spirit is supervisor. And that's kind of an odd term. Because again, you heard the argument that Holy Spirit was giving to our brother when he was arguing about, well, maybe this, maybe that. No, why do I need to do this? Because God had a plan to minister to somebody. And that ministry will change the outlook of his obedience to what God has called him to do and called him to be, and to bless those that would not be in church to have a blessing. God would use him to bless them right where they're at. Even on a shopping spree, you can be changed. Until it rises up completely as the holy temple of the Lord himself. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. Beloved friends, because of my love for Jesus Christ, I am now his prisoner. For the sake of all of you who are not Jews, so that you will hear the gospel that God was entrusted to me to share with you, for this wonderful mystery, which I briefly described, was given to me by divine revelation. So that whenever you read it, you will be able to understand my revelation and insight into the secret mysteries of the Messiah. You know, I can remember getting a phone call and learning that we had a person that had been put in jail. And I picked this person up, gave him a hug, and we both cried. And the first thing that I was reminded, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our sight. Well, when you just get out of jail, you don't want to hear that, because it was hell on wheels. Why? Because you now have tasted, all your rights have been removed. You're in like a number. You don't really exist. But St. Paul saying here that he was, because of my love for Jesus Christ, I am now a prisoner for the sake of all of you. Yeah. Your circumstances may feel like a jail. Your circumstances and your reasoning needs to be adjusted with the truth. And when you adjust it with the truth, you'll find out that jail was part of God's plan so that Paul would write instead of visit. Otherwise, we wouldn't have this letter right now. And I can remember how many times over the years, people having a dream, people having a revelation, I'd say, well, did you write it down? No, no, I ain't got time. I'll remember. And I got angry and said, stop it. Write it down. Write it down, because someday it may save your butt. See, we have this idea that, oh, the pastor's going to pray for me. Well, the pastor may pray for you, but he may not. He may not be commissioned to pray for you. Maybe you're supposed to pray for yourself. Maybe you're supposed to intercede for those that you know. Instead of me, myself, and I, those three great gods that we serve, we know where they came from and what they did to us. And yes, there's a battle going on trying to come out of that. How many know what I'm talking about? It's a battle. Okay? It is a battle. But you've got a helper. His name is Holy Spirit. And John and I last night talked about a little bit about Holy Spirit being the advocate, the attorney. And, you know, we want help. And I know that he's in that boat where he's going to get the help from God that he needs. And it's going to be okay. The only thing is, while you're waiting, your brain is giving you an attack. Amen, John? Okay, so again, Paul was in prison because it was God's plan and a purpose that nobody else could know. And I truly believe, John, you are in a test because God is going to use what you're going through to set captives free that you know not of. And there is a plan that God is unfolding. And it's not just for you and Anne. It's for many others. And St. Paul here didn't go into that prison for himself. Yet, we are focused on me, myself, and I. And why do I have to go through this? Verse 5 of chapter 3. There has never been a generation that has been given the detailed understanding of his glorious and divine mysteries until now. That was 2,000 years ago, and we're still being educated. Isn't it time we get up from the old? He kept it a secret until this generation. Ha! God keeps secrets? Yeah. God is revealing it only now to his sacred apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. Say, why did he wait so long? Well, part of the problem was the religious folks kept killing all the prophets, one after another. They didn't want the truth. And the Spirit of truth came and they crucified him. And when sometimes you and I are prompted to speak the truth, they're going to crucify you. Say ouch.
Ouch.
But it's the truth. If you speak a truth to an individual that is full of darkness and they don't want to hear you, they will find a way to shut you down. Verse 6, here's the secret. The gospel of grace has made you non-Jewish believers into co-heirs of his promise through your union with him, and you have now become members of his body, one with the anointed one. Yeah. That's a juicy one, isn't it? I have been made a messenger of this wonderful news by the gift of grace that works through me. Ha ha. Say it with me. Just close your eyes right now. Say, I have been made a messenger
of this wonderful news
by the gift of grace
that
works through me. Even though I am the least significant of all his holy believers, this grace gift was imparted when the manifestation of his power
came upon me.
Grace alone empowered me so that I can boldly preach this wonderful message. Watch out for those I meet tomorrow. That's Kim's version, by the way. Yeah, but you see where I'm coming from. You comprehend. Being bold in preaching this wonderful message to the non-Jewish people, sharing with them the unfading, inexhaustible riches of Christ, which are beyond comprehension. We're almost done. My passion is to enlighten every person to this divine mystery. It was hidden for ages past until now, and kept a secret in the heart of God, the creator of all. The purpose of this was to unveil before every throne and rank of angelic order in heavenly realms God's full and diverse wisdom revealed through How are the heavenly principalities and powers to learn what's going on? Holy Spirit's waiting for the church. Oh. Well, he's got apostles and prophets. I'm off the hook. None of us are off the hook. When Holy Spirit is telling you to pray against whatever darkness is pushing you around, declare to them their limitations by the word of God. No, you can't do this to me. No, you can't condemn me anymore because I'm not buying your lies anymore.
Right.
You're teaching the principalities to back off. and put your foot down. Amen. The blood covering is upon me, and I'm not buying the lies anymore. You see, churchianity is probably the best term I can use. Lay down and die. Don't fight back. Oh, you're going to insult. Well, excuse me, hell deserves an insult. Because it didn't bat an eyelid when it tried to destroy you. And you had no way of defending yourself. Because you were so meek and so holy in your own eyes that you didn't even open your mouth. The last command that I gave my sister was to declare the Lord's Prayer in a personal way, out loud, the rest of the day, until it becomes familiar. You say, well, I know my Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Did you hear my religion? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And don't mean a word that you've just said. You have just wasted your breath. My Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come inside of Kim Bergeron. Your will be done in this earth. Before it's done in this earth, it's got to be done in this earth. Oh, you guys are just put your Bibles down right now. Put your Bibles down. You need to stand up. That's it. Yeah. Stretch your legs a little. Papa shara takiara. Ho rababa hasandaria. Ho rababa hasakiaratea. Ho rababa hasandara hasiata. Say, my Father.
My Father.
Who is in heaven?
Who is in heaven?
Hallowed be your name.
Hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come inside of me.
Your
will be done inside of me.
Your will be done inside of me.
Oh, yeah? Really? You want God's will to be done inside of you? Just like it is in
heaven.
Give me today everything that I need.
Today everything that I need.
According to your riches and glory.
According to your riches and glory.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I'll forgive those who use me. And abuse me. And accuse me. I'll give them all up back to you, Lord. And you will heal them. Because I can't heal them. But I need healing by setting them free.
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive me of all my trespasses. Yeah. Forgive me when I got angry. Forgive me when I yelled at Mom. Whoops. Yeah, never happened at my house. Yeah, I can fib too, right? What am I saying to us? You need to be serious with your Heavenly Father. It's time that you get to know Him on a one-to-one basis. Lift your hands to Him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not
into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Okay, come on up.
You know, he told us loud and clear to be obedient and to recognize. Come on, big guy. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride.
Showing me myself.
Showing me myself.
And then showing me my new me.
Showing me my new me.
Full of God's grace.
Full of God's grace.
Full of God's mercy.
Full of God's mercy.
And full of God's love.
And